Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Sniffy's Podcast, your bi-weekly dose of positivity. I'm your host, Howard.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ting, co-hosting this podcast with Howard.
In last episode, we talked about what is basic manners training, why is it important, and what are some scenario or use cases that basic manners can be useful. Today, we will continue this discussion with Greg, and Greg will teach us how to train dogs' basic manners. We also want to say thank you to all our audience. It has been 100 days since we released episode 1, and we got lots of feedback from audience telling us that our content is informative. So thank you again for your listening and positive feedback. We will continue producing good content. Okay, back to our topic. Before we talk about how to train basic manners, I do have a question for you, Greg. When I was telling my dog owner friends about basic manners training, lots of them told me that they can send their dog to a training school and after 2 weeks, they will get the well-trained dog back home. I was like, wow, what's the magic behind this? So what's your thought on this, Greg?
That is a really good question. You're absolutely right. A lot of people have that mindset where they can just send their dog away and then pick up a trained or obedient dog. I have a lot of thoughts on this. First and foremost, a lot of places that offer that service use training methods that are not good for the dog. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are based in punishment, and a lot of them use shock collars or prong collars. And it's deceptive because let's say your dog pulls on the leash and jumps on people. Like, those are some of the most common behaviors people want to work on. So if you send them away to a place that uses a shock collar on them for 2 weeks, your dog might come back. They might not be pulling and they might not be jumping, but it's because they have just been scared for the past couple of weeks. And they've learned that if I try to do those things, I will get hurt. I'll get punished. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just suppressing their behaviors. They're not jumping and they're not pulling because they don't want to do anything. All they know is if I just lay down and I be quiet, I won't get hurt. And that's really harmful for a dog's mental health, of course. Mm-hmm. We don't want that to be the case. We don't want them to be afraid of living and being themselves.
Right.
So that's my first thought, is a lot of those services end up doing more harm than good. And additionally, because every person and every dog is different, and their situation, their household, their routine, it's very important for the people to be in on the lessons as well. So I used to work at a boarding facility, and I would do positive reinforcement training while people left their dogs there. And I always made sure that we had an hour long lesson one-on-one with the people at some point after they picked up their dog, because I needed to communicate to them, here's what we worked on, here's why it's working this way, and here's how you can maintain it moving forward. Because that connection of the people learning how to work with their dogs is really, really important.
Yeah, right. I agree. So owners learning how to train is very important, and we definitely don't want our dogs to be treated using shock or prong collars. It's so painful, and I definitely don't want my dog to suffer. So since you mentioned positive reinforcement training, I guess you know what's my next question, right? How do we teach our dogs basic manners with positive reinforcement training method? Let's say I want to teach my dog sit. What should I do?
Yeah, sit is a great example. There are a few ways you can teach it, and it's I always practice sit in my classes on the first day, because even though a lot of dogs probably already know it, because, you know, like I said, it's it's one of the most common things. Everyone thinks their dog sit is the first thing you teach them. So even if dogs already know sit, I still love teaching that in my classes because it's a good way to demonstrate how to train a behavior. So I always tell people, even if your dog can sit on cue, pretend that you've never practiced this before. So there are a few ways you can do it. One is a method called capturing. And this is one of the most fundamental methods of teaching behaviors through positive reinforcement. The idea is just when your dog naturally does something, you reward them. And as they get more rewards, they will do that behavior more often. And then you can add a cue to it. And then there you go. You've taught that behavior. A really helpful tool in positive reinforcement is a clicker. Just a little handheld thing that clicks, makes a sound, and that's all it does. It's used to mark specific behaviors that you're looking for. So if you click and then feed your dog a treat a couple of times, they'll know that the click means a treat is on its way. And that's the clicker's only job, is to let your dog know a treat is on its way. So once your dog learns that, they will know that the click means they did something right because they're about to get rewarded. And that's how you can use it for capturing a behavior. You can just hang out with your dog, see what they're up to. If they happen to sit down, you can click and then feed them a treat. And then after they get a few clicks and treats, they'll get the hang of it. They'll figure out like, okay, hey, every time I do this, I hear that click. That means I did something my person's looking for and they're about to reward me. So they'll start offering it more frequently. Your dog will come over, they'll sit down, you click, give them a treat, they'll sit right back down again. And you just, you know, keep that up, keep rewarding them consistently. And when you can predict that they're about to sit, you know, okay, he sits right down, he gets his treat. You can anticipate when he's about to do it. If you just say the word sit as your dog starts sitting, again, click and treat a few more times, and then they will get the hang of it. They'll start to anticipate. They'll pair it all together. They say, okay, when my person says this word and then I do this thing, I get this reward. It's pretty simple. There's nothing inherently magical about the clicker. At the end of the day, the treat is what's motivating our dogs, you know, something that makes them feel good. The clicker is a great tool, but you certainly don't have to use it. Another great alternative is a verbal marker. So same thing, you just say a specific word as your dog does something you like, feed him a treat, and they'll get that association. So I use the word yes. If I'm trying to train my dog something, as soon as she does exactly what I'm looking for, I say yes, and I feed her a treat, and then she knows. The click and the verbal marker are just sort of like, they sort of rewire your dog's brain. It just makes them know like, ooh, I got it right.
I see. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So Greg, you mentioned that in this capturing method, we wait until our dog sit and we click the clicker or say a verbal marker, then we feed them a treat. But what if my dog doesn't sit for a long time? What should I do?
Excellent question. So that leads me to the other method that a lot of people use for teaching sit or other basic manners. This is something called luring. So luring is when you use a treat or maybe a toy or something to guide your dog into a specific position or emotion. So it's a little bit more reliable. If, like you said, your dog might not sit consistently or when you're trying to train them. But it does have a few extra steps to it. If you're luring your dog, sometimes they become dependent on the treat and they're not going to do the behavior until they see the treat in your hand in front of their nose. So capturing is a little more straightforward because you don't have to worry about that aspect of it. But with luring, you know, you can get behaviors that your dog doesn't offer on their own. So for a sit, for example, holding a treat above your dog's nose, having them sort of look up, a lot of times that will prompt them to sort of drop into a sit position. And sometimes it takes a little fine tuning, figuring out exactly how and where to move it. But that's a pretty consistent way to get your dog into that position. Same thing for like lying down, you know, having the treat in front of their nose, bringing it down to the ground, they'll probably drop into a down position. Mm-hmm. So to sort of start from the beginning, if you are luring your dog, you hold the treat above their nose, they sit down, you click and feed them that treat that you are using to lure them. Same idea, they'll get consistently, they'll practice the physical motion, they'll figure it out. They'll know what we're looking for, and they'll say, okay, when he holds a treat like this, if I sit down, I get the treat. That's great. So the tricky part with luring, like I said, they can be dependent on that treat. Mm-hmm. What you want to do next is fade out the lure. It's sort of a little deceptive, but we will do the exact same motion holding an imaginary treat. So you'll just mm-hmm. pretend you're holding a treat above your dog's nose, and if they sit down, you feed them a treat from your pocket. You still mm-hmm. reward them, but they're just not following the treat directly. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the trick with luring. You want to fade out that lure so, again, they don't rely on it and they won't only perform when they see you've got the treat in your hand. And then from there, with luring, one advantage is you can usually shape your imaginary fake treat hand into a hand signal. Or you can just say a word as you're doing the hand signal and then, you know, get a sit on the verbal cue as well.
Yeah, that's very eye-opening. You know, like before I didn't know about positive reinforcement training. I used to have a dog and then the way I teach him sit, it's not quite.
I know.
Yeah, so what I did was like I push his butt to the ground mm-hmm. and I say, sit. Yeah, and he never learns that, so I gave up.
That's very common. A lot of people try to teach their dog sit that way. And the reason that doesn't work is we're guiding them a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. In a broader sense, how we train our dogs is how they learn to do a behavior. So mm-hmm. if we train them by physically pushing their body, that's how they know to do the behavior. So we're going to need to do that every time.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So generally when we're training, we want our dogs to think it's their idea. We sort mm-hmm. of want them to think they're training us and think, hey, if I do this behavior, whether it's sit or, you know, if you're teaching your dog a trick, like, you know, shake or roll over, we want our dogs to think, every time I do this, my person feeds me. Mm-hmm. So when they think it's their idea, it comes a lot more naturally. It sticks in their mind. They retain the behavior a lot better. And it's just a more natural way for them to learn.
Right. So we need to change our mindset. It's not like we push our dog to do something we want. Instead, it's like we want our dogs to learn that they are training us to feed them a treat if they do something we want. That's very interesting.
So on that note, one thing a lot of people ask in my, you know, basic manners classes, mm-hmm. A lot of times they ask, will I have to feed my dog treats every time I want them to do something? Mm-hmm. So the answer is no. Treats, you want to feed your dog treats really consistently when they're first learning something. Mm-hmm. But once they get the hang of a behavior, you can space out the treats a lot more. And again, just sort of maintain the behavior. If they get rewards every once in a while, then they'll still enjoy doing it. They'll think it's worth their while. You don't need to give them a treat every single time. And they'll still hang on to the behavior just fine.
I see. So we don't want them to rely on the treat too much.
Exactly.
I see. So, Greg, do you see any like challenges of training like basic manners?
Yeah, a lot of times the number one thing I run into, mm-hmm. at least in my group classes, is working around distractions. So, mm-hmm. by nature, group classes are very distracting. There are a lot of other dogs, a lot of new people, and it's a new environment. It probably smells like treats in this room. Maybe if a dog had an accident there last week, that's really interesting for our dogs to smell. If it wasn't cleaned up 100%. So, you know, distractions are a huge hurdle in training, which is a pro and a con when it comes to group classes. Working around distractions is a really good way to build up the muscle. It's a really good way to challenge our dogs, but it can be hard to get them focused initially. So, you know, distractions are definitely a big challenge for training basic manners. Mm-hmm. In a calm environment, dogs are usually very receptive to learning. So, yeah, distractions are one of the big obstacles to overcome.
So having distractions is really a huge challenge for dogs in training because it drives their attention away. So how about the dog's people? Like, what can people do wrong when training their dog basic manners?
So the good news with positive reinforcement-based training is that it's hard to mess up. Worst case scenario, your dog gets a few free treats that maybe they didn't fully do the behavior we were asking for, but nothing wrong with that. I think probably the most common issue where people maybe don't get the most out of their lesson is if they don't keep up with it, they aren't fully engaged. I think, like I mentioned, the group classes can be pretty distracting, and an hour can be a long time. You know, at least my classes are an hour long. It can be a long time for dogs to stay focused and mentally engaged. So I think one thing some people might run into is overdoing it with training, which we don't want our dogs to get tired of it. We don't want them to get stressed out or be pushed past their limits. So a lot of learning that dogs do, they process information as they rest. So one aspect, like I said, if people aren't fully engaged or they're trying to do too much too fast, those are certainly things you might run into. I think probably the number one way that people might not get the most out of a class is if they set their expectations in a way that isn't realistic. As I mentioned a few times, I really encourage people to think about their situation with their dog. And there's no such thing as a perfectly trained dog. You're always going to be working with them, cooperating, adjusting, maintaining. So when people don't expect that, when people think that it's just they brought their dog to a training class and now they're going to be perfect, I think that's the biggest pitfall you can run into. So it really is about having the expectation that this is going to be a lifelong continued process with your dog.
So just take it easy and gradually make progress with your dog.
Exactly.
Thanks for sharing, Greg. Wow, I really learned a lot today, especially how to train with positive reinforcement. I love it. I know lots of our audience are interested in Greg's dog training classes, but they cannot attend because Greg is in Rochester and it's too far for most audience. But I have a great news on this. We are collaborating with Greg to create an online course for basic manners training. Our goal is to make professional training resources more accessible to every dog owner, so we can all learn how to communicate effectively and efficiently with our dogs. Greg, can you please share a little insight of this course? Like, what's the benefit of taking this course? What can we learn and who should take this class, etc.?
So, yeah, I'm very excited for this class to get up and running. It was certainly a lot of fun to record these sessions and get to prepare the class. And I think it's really helpful for a lot of reasons. As we've talked about, basic manners is a great place to start because they're building blocks for all sorts of different things. And they're usually pretty straightforward and relatively easy to get a handle on. And as I mentioned, one of the big challenges with group classes is the high distractions.
Right.
So the online course is super helpful because you can practice in your own environment and you won't have to worry about those distractions. Mm-hmm. It is great for learning new things, for helping to maintain, even if your dog already, you know, sort of knows these behaviors, it can be great to just practice having the course. It's a good way to just stay on top of it. And you can go at your own pace, which is really helpful. With the group classes in person, you only can only spend so much time because we're trying to fit so much information into the class to make it worthwhile for the students. But with the online course, you can go at your own pace. You can review lessons that maybe you didn't quite follow the first time, but once you've gotten some practice, you get a better handle on it. You can, listen to it again. Mm-hmm. And like I said, just sort of in your own environment, on your own schedule. And we tried to make them really accessible so that no matter who you are, what level of experience you have, we try to make it easy to pick up.
Awesome. I'm super excited about this. And we will keep posted once we have any updates. Today, we talked about how to teach our dogs basic manners. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in today's episode. Your thoughts and feedback are very important to us, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Whether it's a story you'd like to share, a topic you're curious about, or you're interested in joining us as a guest speaker, please email to info@sniffylabs.com. info@sniffylabs.com.